Lord God, we pray that your Spirit might be upon us to open our eyes and our hearts to realize again the enormity of the things that you have done for us and the bounty that you have given us, so that our hearts indeed might rise up in praise to you, that we might give you due praise and worship, not just in our words, but also in the sacrifices of our lives towards your purposes and for our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bill Bryson, in his book A Short History of Nearly Everything, begins his chapter called Small World with, "It's probably not a good idea to take too personal an interest in your microbes." He noted that Louis Pasteur, the famous Louis Pasteur, used to peer critically at every plate that was put before him with a magnifying glass. Not someone you would enjoy having to dinner, I can imagine. It reminds me of a friend, actually, at college, in my college days. He'd started studying biology at Teachers College, and he would come into the refectory, the cafe at the college, and he would pick over the piece of chicken, and he would say, "Oh, look, you know, that's a..." And he would describe all the pieces, and all the rest of us were quite put off our lunch and would sort of try to avoid him in the future around lunchtime. But of course, when we look into the microscopic world, while it can be very off-putting at one level, it is in fact a magnificent example of God's provision for human life. At Harvest Thanksgiving, of course, we tend to appreciate the growth of the grain. We thank people for bringing along the harvest goods. And as Alan mentioned, there are more down in the hall. This is just a representative demonstration of what God has given to us. So we think of those big things, the growth of the grain and the profusion of fruit and the great variety of edible plant life. God has provided the earth and the rain and the sunshine and the life that exists within every seed. And we may look back in the scriptures at the creation story of Genesis 1, and we see that in the first 3 days God provides. He provides light, he provides water, he provides the sky, and then the earth and the vegetation. And that provision is then followed by 3 days in which God creates the sun and the moon and the stars, all the stuff up there, the fish to go into the sea, the birds to fill the air that he's already provided, and the animals and the human beings to inhabit the land that he has divided from the sea. The human beings and the animals enjoy and live off the bounty that God has provided. It's easy to see then the big things that God has done for us, but also to overlook the fact that God provides for us in the very smallest things. I've read that human beings are actually halfway between the vast size of the universe out there, which is mind-bogglingly big, and the tiniest particles that go to make up our bodies and the rest of the universe for that matter. And it gives you an idea of how incredibly small the smallest particles really are. This video may help us to see something of the smallness of those particles. You'll notice that it starts with a human being against 1 meter circle. So you've got some scale going all the way through this video. It then burrows down into the very smallest things, and then it expands back to where where people are, where the person is, and then it goes out into the known universe and estimates what might be beyond it. Now it moves fairly quickly, and it goes because it has to go a long way in each direction. But if you want to watch it at your leisure, you can search for it in YouTube as The Scale of the Universe 2. The Scale of the Universe 2. So you can see it in YouTube and watch it again. And if you want to control the pace, you can go to htwinds.net scale 2. So you can actually find a version where you can actually control it going up and down. And you can see it for yourself. But here is the video. There's a meter circle.
Okay.
chromosomes. Smallest thing by a microscope, optical microscope, going beyond that. Still going. And I think beyond this is just a guess as to how big it is. Now we're going back again to the human being. Now we'll expand out into the universe. The Eiffel Tower. Ayers Rock there. Mount Everest. Italy. Planets. Outside the solar system. Impressive, isn't it? And it's even more impressive if you do it slowly and you have control over it. And you look at the hugeness and the smallness at the other end of the scale. You may have noticed, if you were very quick with your eyes, you may have noticed that bacteria are nowhere near the tiniest things, nowhere near it. But each of us have about a trillion of them feeding off just our skin. That's a comforting thought this morning, isn't it? You've got 100,000 bacteria on every square centimetre of your skin. And they devour oils that you secrete and flakes of skin, little bits of skin, and in return they very generously give you BO. Our digestive systems are host to over 100 trillion microbes. Your body is made up of 10 quadrillion cells, but you carry 100 quadrillion bacterial cells. But in case you might be thinking this morning that you might lose some weight by shedding a few million bacteria, or that you're thinking you might engage in some antibacterial diet, like drinking Dettol or something of the sort, let me remind you that without bacteria, there would be no life. Bacteria processes our wastes and makes them reusable. They purify our water and keep soil productive. They synthesize out vitamins. They battle with potentially damaging microbes. They take nitrogen out of the air and make amino acids and other useful things. They help to supply a good deal of the world's breathable oxygen. And they will even devour plutonium. You know, King David in Psalm 8 said, "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." It is then possible to look at the great things in life and to feel very small and very insignificant. But now, in this day, it is possible to look through the electron microscope and see things which are trillions of times smaller. And yet, despite their smallness, they are essential to life. And I believe there's a lesson here for us too from nature. Never to underestimate our worth in the overall scheme of things, and particularly in God's eyes, or our potential in our usefulness in God's hands. Equally, just as life is comprised of many parts, physical life is comprised of many parts, we are to remember that we as Christians are one part in the body of Christ, that we need one another, and to be grounded in Christ to be effective. So when we look at the greatest things, and when we look down to the very tiniest things, and look at the whole spread of life in between, we begin to understand that human existence occupies a place of extremely delicate physical balance. Our earth is just the right distance from the sun. The sun is just the right size and temperature. The earth has a core which produces a magnetic field which protects us from potentially fatal particles given off by the sun. The atmosphere is just right. We have sufficient water. And we have a moon which influences our tides and stabilizes the movement of the earth and the oceans, and so on. Yet despite the wonders that we discover around us day after day, there are still many people who believe that life, and particularly human life, was just a fluke. We should therefore note that scientists have still not been able to create life, and that the odds against life occurring by chance are absolutely immense. Bill Bryson mentions that there may be up to 1 million types of protein in the human body, that each of those proteins is a little miracle. He said, to get a protein, you need to assemble amino acids in the right order. And in the case of collagen, for instance, you need 1,055 amino acids assembling themselves precisely in the right order, in the right sequence. The chances of that happening are just about nil. Just happening. The odds against winning Powerball, incidentally, are, I believe, 27,489,577 to 1 against you winning. So the odds are pretty long, aren't they? If you really thought about it, you probably wouldn't do it. But of course, some people do win it. But even those proteins that only require a measly 200 amino acids, the odds against their assembly in the right order are 1 in 10 to 260, the power of 260. David?
Thank you.
That's it. There's Powerball. There's the odds of 200 amino acids making up a protein. It's a number larger than all the atoms in the universe. Incidentally, proteins require DNA to replicate, and DNA has no purpose without proteins, so you both have to pop into existence at the same time. In fact, when you start to look at cells, it gets even more complicated than that. But I guess you've got the idea by now. King David was right when he wrote in Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." He goes on to say, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." In the greatness of our solar system, and in the amazing intricacy of our bodies, and in the provision that we enjoy from day to day, we can only praise and thank God for all that he has done. I notice that in this passage, David has a very real sense of God having a purpose and direction for his life. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And a wider reading of Genesis and the other scriptures confirm, of course, that life, and especially human life, has its point and purposes in God's purpose for us. For all that God has given us so much, we as human beings have neglected, distorted, misused, and wasted what God has given to us. We have willfully disobeyed his directions, and we have caused a gulf between ourselves and our Creator. Yes, he continues to send rain on the just and the unjust, but he is looking for us not merely to exist on the earth, but to live, relating to him as the one who made us. And so God became one with his creation in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ taking on the cells and the bacteria and the proteins and all the other things that go to make up a human being. But Jesus was different in this sense, that he was perfectly obedient to God, and therefore qualified to take on himself the just punishment for a wayward world. Christ's death achieves forgiveness, and his resurrection affirmed the truth of what he had done. And so in the greatest gift that we celebrate today is not the universe out there, nor even the organisms that preserve our physical beings, nor even our daily bread, but the fact that we have a life that has meaning now, and a life that will go on forever with our Creator because of Jesus Christ. It is through faith in Jesus Christ as the Lord of all, and as the Savior from sin and death and despair. We thank God then this morning for two harvests, for the harvest of provisions for our physical well-being, and the harvest of his kingdom, which, as Mark's gospel points out, starts with the smallest of seeds, but grows under the hand of God into a vast people from every tribe and nation who will submit to him. So let me ask you now, what are you living for this year? What are you living for this year? Will you live as though your life is just a fluke of nature, a random collection of cells and particles, and fritter the year away without purpose or direction? Or will you live out 2015 as though you are the center of everything, with God as a consultant, as it were, waiting in the wings in case you need a bit of help? Have you worked out an agenda for the next 11 months, hoping for God's stamp of approval, but determined to push on anyway? Or do you believe that God has created you for himself, to love you and to guide you and to make this year count towards eternity? You are wonderfully made. You are wonderfully provided for. Therefore, live wonderfully in the power of God's Spirit and for his praise and glory. Amen.